The tragedy of Anakin Skywalker. But, no, but really, why wasn't Anakin a crush master? Why did they let him major in stabbing? Oh god, no, but that would be perfect. How did the Jedi not think of that? What is Anakin's biggest weakness? Attachments. You know who needs a lot of attachment? Babies. Small children. Anakin should not have been made to study murder. He should have been put in charge of the small things. He would have bonded with all of them instantly, and it would have given his life meaning and purpose. He'd bond with the kids, but he'd be able to move on because they are bigger now, and they have to go to big kid classes. But he still sees them around all the time, and it finally teaches him how to let go of his attachments. He'd find a kid that he's particularly fond of and go to Obi-Wan and say, "I found your newest Padawan." This could have fixed so many things! And Anakin would keep picking Obi-Wan's Padawans for him, and it would be annoying, but damn if he wasn't right every single time. But can you just imagine how annoyed Palpatine would be? His life would be a never-ending string of trying to get a hold of Anakin. I mean, would Anakin give him the time of day if he could spend it with small kids who absolutely adore him instead?
No.
He keeps coming over the years, but it's always like, beep. Sorry. Anakin, my boy, we haven't seen each other in a while. I'm sorry, Chancellor. No, it's not the best time. I'm tutoring a class. Beep. My dear boy, I wonder if we can meet for a chat. Well, it can't be during this week. We're going to Ilum. But maybe later? Anakin, I'd like to... I'm terribly sorry. Sorry, Chancellor. Obi-Wan Kenobi answers. The apologetic tone might be just a tad exaggerated. Anakin is on a trip with the younglings. He must have left this comlink behind accidentally. You've reached Anakin Skywalker's private comlink. Leave the message at the tone. It's such a shame that the council doesn't consider you sending you on this campaign, considering the lightsaber skills you have demonstrated while I was last visiting the temple, Anakin. Thank you, Chancellor. But this is precisely why I need to stay behind. In fact, just the last week, the masters decided I should take over some advanced lightsaber classes, considering the senior Padawans accompanying their masters on the front lines need the training. I might take the Bear Clan along, make a learning opportunity for the young ones.
He calls them the Bear Clan?
Palpatine closes his eyes slowly. He knows this from experience. Anakin won't let himself be budged from the topic of the little monsters for at least another half hour. Ah, Chancellor Palpatine. Anakin left his comlink behind again. He's in class. Anakin, I hope you... Oh, Chancellor! The voice on the other end is distinctly female, and Palpatine recognizes it after a second. Kenobi's second Padawan. He barely restrains the urge to gnash his teeth. Master Skywalker can't pick up right now. I can tell him you called. It's just that he was helping me with the forms, and he forgot his comlink, and he's probably already in the crash. Then there's that one time where an actual youngling picks up the call. The less that is said about his reaction to that incident, the better. Fortunately, they were all right in the end. But in my opinion, this should never have happened in the first place, Chancellor. Palpatine snaps awake. Was that anger? Finally, the hours of listening to worthless drivel about Jedi younglings paid off. My boy, I absolutely agree. He begins slyly. But before he can continue, Anakin steamrolls on. I think the Jedi Order is too deeply entwined in the conflict. I honestly think that even senior Padawans shouldn't be anywhere near battles. Not to mention in command of Garn. But now even younglings are acceptable targets for the Separatists and the Pirates. Master Yoda and I were talking about this lately, and Palpatine swallows a scream of rage with some difficulty. Forgot his comlink again, Master Skywalker has. With the younglings he is. Slaughtering younglings move to the top of the list Darth Sidious will do after taking over the galaxy some time ago. This is what the Council would have done if they were smart. Seriously, here is Yoda saying Anakin should not be taught because he senses too much fear in him. It's fear for the people he cares about. Something everyone present realizes fully because when it comes to his own safety, Anakin couldn't be more reckless. Then Qui-Gon announces that he's training him anyway. Someone points out he might fulfill the prophecy and bring balance to the Force. And nobody thinks that maybe giving him a job that's more about caring than killing might be an idea. Nope. We're training him. Let's foster the loose cannon aspect of his personalities, make him a war general, and keep pushing him into vicious battles to the death. Sounds perfect for his mental health. The Jedi Council were a bunch of idiots with their heads so far up their own asses, even a lightsaber shoved up there to the hilt would not provide them enough light to see further than their own noses. I think I got lost somewhere in this metaphor. You get the point. After 10 years, Palpatine loses his patience and decides to change his plans. Fuck it, Skywalker has kids now. Two adorable little Muppets who can be captured, broken, twisted into twin powerhouses of the dark side. Torture one while the other watches, convince them Daddy doesn't love them. Easy peasy. Unfortunately, he fails to reckon with the fact that not only is he going against Anakin fucking Skywalker, but that Anakin fucking Skywalker is the surrogate father slash big brother slash best friend slash cool teacher of 90% of the current Padawans and young knights in the Order. While the Council might make decisions and talk about the will of the Force and stuff, these Padawans and knights only care about the fact that the man who scared away the monsters under the bed, made it feel less lonely and frightening to be away from home when they were small, is now hurting and scared for his own children. Just like Palpatine always wanted, Anakin ends up leading an army. An army of young Jedi who smash the ever-loving shit out of everything Darth Sidious can throw at them, rescued the terrified Skywalker twins, and dragged the Chancellor, his own self, before the Senate with conclusive proof that he's an evil dark side wielding bastard who kidnaps adorable kids. Attachments for the win. God, yes. Luke and Leia would have grown up with 500 brothers and sisters of assorted species. Whenever you see Anakin, there are 10 kids with him, occasionally actively hanging off his arms or riding on his shoulders. Anakin looks downright gleeful about this. Padme thinks it's the most adorable thing ever. 20 years later, by the time A New Hope would have begun, Anakin is 45. Padme is the new Chancellor. Luke and Leia are finishing their own Jedi training. 90% of the current young Jedi Order calls Anakin Dad. He has amassed the galaxy's largest collection of refrigerator art. After that incident with Chancellor Palpatine 15 years back, Yoda was forced to admit to Qui-Gon's very smug Force ghost that he was right. Everything is right with the galaxy. I'm so sorry. This ate my brain, and then things ran away from me. I am sorry. So, Anakin leads an army to retrieve his children, and it's this twisted version of everything Sidious ever wanted. He's prepared for that. But Sidious always underestimates how love changes things. And while he's prepared to fight Anakin's devoted army of former Kreshlings, he underestimates how that's changed the rest of the Order. Because Obi-Wan is quieter about whom and how he loves, but it doesn't make it any less strong. When Obi-Wan loves someone, it is unconditional and unyielding, and he has never loved anyone so much as he loves Anakin Skywalker.
Spontaneous applause there.
The twins are born, and Anakin is bashful about it, but he's not ashamed, and of course Obi-Wan has to know. You can't imagine Obi-Wan not knowing his children. Obi-Wan totally already knows. He has been rolling his eyes about this for months and waiting for Anakin to come to him so he doesn't have to spook him or for Padme to knock some freaking sense into him, which she does because not dying Padme is scary post-pregnancy and not willing to deal with the stupid anymore. And then Padme hands him Leia and everything stutters into a halt for a moment because, oh no, Anakin has found him another Padawan.
Anakin made him a Padawan.
Right?
I made this for you.
There is no one Obi-Wan will ever love as fiercely as Anakin, except for Anakin's children, who may as well be his own children. And he knows from the moment he first holds her that Leia will be the greatest Jedi he has ever had a hand in raising.
Yes.
It becomes a joke among the knights and the masters at the temple that after the Skywalker twins arrive, if you even think that you might like to take Leia as your Padawan, you can feel Obi-Wan glare at you no matter where he is in the galaxy. Then when Sidious kidnaps Anakin's children, his future Padawan, Obi-Wan is the only Jedi in the galaxy who can put a hand on Anakin's shoulder and say, "We need a distraction to do this safely. Trust me to bring them home for you." Anakin will lead the frontal assault and tear down all of Sidious's carefully constructed plans. Obi-Wan will sneak in and safeguard their children and bring them home. I love that they said their children. That's the plan, anyway. Here's what none of them expected. When Luke Skywalker came screaming and red-faced into the world, an ancient, meddling troll of a Jedi Master who had vowed never to take another Padawan had felt it and thought, fuck. Whereas Leia is, even as a child, stubborn and willful and silk-hiding steel, Luke is twin balls of sunshine. Raised among Jedi, he is so bright a presence it hurts. Even raised among Jedi, he wears his heart on his sleeve and has absolutely no guile, and he pouts when the cafeteria doesn't serve his favorite dessert, but will cheerfully walk across the room and give it to someone if he senses that person is still hungry. The first time Luke sees Yoda, he stares at him, all big blue eyes and pudgy baby hands, and then grabs his ears and won't let go. Everyone is horrified. Yoda harumphs at him and tells him, "Patience, young one." He toddles after Yoda from the time he can crawl, and no matter how grouchy Yoda seems, he never actually dissuades him from it. After the twins enter the temple, Anakin always knows not to worry if Luke is missing from the creche. Yoda will escort him back sooner or later. He's always much more worried when Leia disappears because, yes, Obi-Wan will bring her back, but they'll have gotten into some trouble in the meantime. Yeah. Yoda does not confront Darth Sidious. Yoda does not lose his duel with the Sith Lord and become diminished because of it. Yoda is with Obi-Wan, sneaking into his stronghold to see the twins safe. Yoda cannot go Sith hunting when Luke is in pain and gently clinging to him, his arms around his neck, bruised and bleeding and smiling at Yoda because he saw him, because Luke knew he would come. Sidious cannot win with them. Leia would risk her home being obliterated rather than betray her righteous cause. Luke would willingly walk into flames rather than give up on those he loves. It hurts. Oh, it hurts to see the other in pain. But Leia can watch Luke be hurt and know that there are more important things at stake than the two of them. And Luke can watch Leia be hurt and trust that they will be saved. Sidious escapes, but his empire falls before it solidifies. He will never become as powerful as he needs to be. It's Anakin who notices there is something wrong with the clones. He's not their general, but Obi-Wan is, and Obi-Wan is a good general. When Obi-Wan is hurt, they're all nosy and worried, and Anakin, all but glued to his former master's bedside when it's really bad, and first and foremost a mechanic, can tell that something is wrong. He's not always with them, so it never becomes familiar, it never becomes normal, and it niggles at the back of his brain until he's sitting in front of Obi-Wan's Bacta tank, old training bond humming between them because Obi-Wan hates drugs and hates being sedated, and he stays quieter and heals faster if Anakin is there to keep him calm. And Rex walks in to check on the general, and Anakin turns around to look at him, and he sees it. The Jedi Order quickly deprograms the clone army. They trace the chip back to Palpatine. Padme and Bail Organa and Mon Mothma quietly start amassing information against him and his allies, enough for criminal charges, pushing Sidious to show his hand and try to kidnap the twins. Obi-Wan takes Leia as his Padawan the second she's old enough for it to be proper. They're scarily well matched. If he was the Jedi's best hope to keep planets from succeeding during the war, together they can talk whole systems into rejoining the rebuilding Republic. Yoda leaves Luke in the creche until the day before his 13th birthday. Everyone is worried except Luke, who knows he is meant to be a Jedi and knows Master Yoda is meant to teach him and trusts this since he was raised in the temple. It's easier to have faith when you've always had it, and he's never been wrong. 14 Jedi have tried to ask him to be their apprentice. Yoda bashed 12 of them over the head with a stick before they could, and Luke turned 2 of them down himself. The last 3 days before his birthday, he spends his last day as a 12-year-old following his dad around, both of them a little clingier than usual. Anakin has always thought that Yoda intended to take Luke as his Padawan, but he's literally hours away from aging out, and he's seriously considering calming Ahsoka and begging her to come act as backup when Luke suddenly hugs Anakin hard and quick, and Anakin looks over and sees Yoda waiting in the doorway. Anakin hugs Luke back very tightly and then lets him go. Luke already has his few things packed and waiting. Yoda harumphs at him. "Ready you are, Padawan mine." Luke's smile is blinding. "Yes, master." Leia talks star systems into rejoining the Republic. Luke returns the fallen to the Jedi. Dooku is the first and most fleeting, having not been killed by Anakin, having been betrayed and split from Sidious. Luke finds him when he's dying and gets Yoda to him in time to pass them information on Sidious's new schemes and die a Jedi, with his old master at his side. There are others, after that, who fell during the war and didn't think they could ever return from it. Luke, bright and shiny and full of faith, sees them, thinks, "I can fix this," and brings them home one by one. After the second return, which is unavoidably public, Leia and Obi-Wan look at each other and enlist everyone they can to begin working to make Luke the new poster boy for the Order. Luke is intensely embarrassed by this and a bit bumbling and shy about it, which just makes it more attractive to everyone. It also keeps the spotlight well away from their rebuilding efforts, which are way easier when there's less press exposure. Sidious, who would still like to capture and corrupt the twins, eventually stops trying with Luke because there's only a 50-50 anyone he sends after him will come back, and between years of Yoda's training, i.e. dodging his stick, Luke's innate force sense and his dumb luck, he's practically impossible to kill. Sidious dies ignobly at the hands of a new apprentice, one of the fallen whom Luke has been trying to save. His defeat was always going to be someone else's redemption.